You're listening to Your Music, Your Business, a podcast helping you to explore the business behind your music.
Wait a second, we can't start our episode yet. I should let you know that this episode was recorded last year, and due to life's hectic moments, like I discussed in my last episode, this episode is only being released now. Some of the references will link to concepts thought about for this year, but most of them I've cut out, so it should be fun. Let's get right into it.
Welcome back, everyone, to the podcast. Today I have Jenna here from the Real Songwriters of Melbourne community, and I am so excited to have her on because we're going to be talking about everything from songwriting to the music industry and what the next 2 years look like, and community, which I'm so looking forward to. Thank you, Jenna, for coming along. Can you tell us a bit about you and what you do? I think we were just having a bit of a laugh about how do we even define how many hats you wear. So you can give us an intro. That'd be great.
Thank you. And hello. Thank you so much for having me. Yes, you are right. I have multiple hats. So I guess the first and foremost thing is I am the founder of this beautiful community. It started out as a passion and a blog, and over the course of now nearly 8 years, it's grown into a small business which hosts wonderful and talented songwriters all over Victoria. And my role essentially is facilitating events. So we host monthly networking nights, we host open mic nights. So it's about providing opportunity. We also have artist mentoring sessions in which I mentor artists one-on-one in certain aspects like release planning and strategy, social media content development. And you know what, even just going back to the basics and starting out, how to get a gig, how to put an EPK together, just little bits like that. And essentially what's happened is that my passion for showcasing and supporting emerging artists has just transpired into this beautiful community of musicians who all want to support each other and celebrate each other. So sometimes I'm called like the mother hen because I like, you know, like a little network. I've got my little network of chickens that all come in and connect, and we have at network nights we have food, and I, you know, sometimes I am like the mother figure in the sense of but I love it. It's I'm just so proud of how far it's come in such a long time.
Yeah, that's so great. I kind of like 100% agree. You do have such an amazing tight-knit community. I think that's what you can see from the outside. And, you know, for myself, who's come a little bit within the circle, it's definitely very obvious that you do have a beautiful community with you. And a lot of people around Melbourne definitely know about it now. I think there's a lot of songwriters and musicians that are like, yeah, I've heard of it somewhere. You definitely popped up on somebody's feed quite a few times. So well done.
You know what? And it still surprises me and it still excites me to this day, you know, that someone says, oh, I just found you on Facebook, or, you know, so-and-so told me about you, or, you know, and it's still amazing how people are still finding out about it and how long people have known about it too. So yeah. it still makes me surprised to this day.
Yeah. Isn't the internet just so amazing? How like people will just be sitting in the background and they're like, oh, hey, I've been watching your stuff for years. And then you're like, really?
Yeah. Like I remember clearly a few years ago I had a show and someone came up to me at the end of the show and they said, I've been following you on Instagram for about 2 years, 2 or 3 years, and this is the first event that I've come to. So it took them 2 or 3 years for them to be like, yep, I want to make that commitment. So I guess if there's any advice out there to anyone that's listening is that everyone's watching. There's always someone watching.
Yeah.
And you know, it's always about getting that connection with your audience because it's just going to be that one moment where they're like, yep, I've made that commitment. I'm buying a ticket. I'm coming to your show. So I'll never forget that because I was like, oh my God, it took you that long. I was like, wow, I wonder what I did. What did I do?
What changed? Yeah. And then for all those people that are watching and not acting, act, guys. Well, you can do it. Don't be shy. Jump in.
Well, that's the thing, right? Songwriters in particular, because obviously that's the majority of the community, they watch from behind the scenes. They do essentially like window shopping in the sense of, and they see what everyone else is doing, but they're too nervous to make that commitment. So I found that with a lot of songwriters, in terms of asking them to come to networking nights, they want to do it. They're just too scared or too nervous. So yeah. That's where I've been like, you know what? You are not going to be the only one who's coming to the networking night for the first time. And there have been a lot of networking nights where there have been, you know, two or three tables where everyone's just met, and then they'll leave and they won't stop talking. So I don't know. I think you just need to do it. You're right. Yeah. Just act on it. Just do it, because the opportunities are amazing once you do it.
Exactly. Yeah. You're just going to take that breath and the step forward sometimes. And we're all human. We all do it. Even us in the industry, we're all just like, oh, it's a networking night. Okay, we can do it.
That's it. Yeah. You know what? No. There should be. I wish there was a networking night for business women, in the sense of, I wish there were more of them, because I would be, again, so nervous, but I would love to. Like, I would love to meet up with people and, you know, just talk about business, because it's something that, especially for women, we don't really get a chance to talk about it that much. We're just alone and isolated. Mm-hmm. We should, maybe that's an idea. Maybe we should do a industry networking night or something.
I'm in. Let's do it. We need more girl power. But I think, in regards to networking and everything like that, what I usually try to tell my clients is what I do whenever I go to gigs, because obviously gigs are another really great networking opportunity, but from the actual networking nights. And I usually try to make a point of, if that gig is within my scene or my genre, I'll go, okay, I need to meet one new person today, and that's it. It's like, if it ends up being the bar staff, I don't care. but I need to meet one new person. And I think the last time I did that, it was at the UNFD showcase at the corner, so the big pole in the middle, and I said, okay, one person. And I was having massive anxiety, because it was just after lockdown, and I was like, oh, there's lots of people around. And I think I met six. I was like, I was walking out of there, wow, just like, whoa, look at me go.
That's awesome.
Yeah. But literally sometimes it does take just that, just going, just meet one person. And then usually that one person's hanging around somebody else, and they'll all bump into each other, and you'll make friends that, and connections that can sometimes mean the difference between your career, like, growing five times faster than you ever thought it would be. So
yeah, for sure. Networking is something that has really become prominent, especially during lockdown. And that is one of the reasons why RSOM has really become what it is today, because lockdown gave people an opportunity to connect. And with our networking nights, we hosted them online. And we had about 35 to 40 songwriters in a session, that by the time we got to our first in-person networking night since lockdown, it was the funniest thing, but it was so awesome. People were so nervous to come to this, because it was the first thing that we could do after lockdown.
Yeah.
And we had 50 people in a room, and we could only have 50 people max. Wow. So I was freaking out, because it was my biggest event that I'd ever had. And that was great feedback from everything that happened during lockdown. But it was also 50 people that I probably have only met once or twice or never met before. So I was freaking out, because I'm like, I'm in a room with all these people. But you put your game face on, you know, like when you're singing, you put your game face on. And I was literally facilitating people and being like, would you like me to introduce you to this person? But then it ended up being, oh, I've seen you on Instagram. Oh, we chatted on Instagram once. Oh, I saw you on a Zoom call. So it was so funny just seeing people recognize each other and be like, oh, you're so-and-so, or you're this and that. It was so funny. So
networking
is so valuable. And even in my mentoring sessions that I have a lot of songwriters that come in and they say, you know, I'm looking for a band member, I'm looking for a singer to collaborate with, you know, I'm looking to increase my opportunities to get a gig. And I said, you need to put yourself out there, and you need to go to gigs, introduce yourself to artists, you know, go to our networking nights, go to any networking night / open mic night, go to anything, you know. I'm not just biased to RSOM. I encourage people to go out wherever, you know, because your opportunities are endless when you keep introducing yourself to different people and going to different venues. So yeah, that old school sense of networking is still so prominent, even though times are changing at the moment, which, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. You're completely right. And although I wish that my uni teachers were not right, they literally said, you just need to network, network, network. And now I hate it, but they're so right.
Oh yeah.
Yep. Yeah. It's like, damn, I've actually paid good money, damn it, on that uni degree. But yeah, as you said, the connecting community together is only one part of the business. And the other part is the mentoring aspect, which I personally love because as you said, sometimes it's about, the big picture about working with release timelines and all that sort of thing. But then sometimes it's basically just taking them back to the nitty gritty of exactly what the foundations they need for their career is. And we're very similar in that is that I have an 8-week program that literally does that. It's called an Artist Foundations Program. And I am always shocked by what some of my clients the knowledge that some of my clients have and what they don't have about the industry. And I'm sure you can relate. And I did actually want to ask about what do you feel like is the biggest thing that people keep coming back to you on in regards to their career that they just don't quite know? Big question.
I think it definitely is the foundations, because people just get lost in, especially social media. I feel like people just get so consumed in marketing themselves. And yes, that is so like that. Yes, that is important, but you need to have the foundation set in order for you to think about how you're going to release content. So I have people that come in and they're like, oh, my Instagram's not getting any followers, or, I'm not getting the Spotify streams that I want. But a lot of these problems, or not problems, or these opportunities, I should say, they're not problems, they're opportunities.
Yeah.
It's something you just really need to step back and go back to the start.
Yep.
And map it out. So I think we, and I'm the same in the sense of, like I was just saying to you before, I really need to set time for myself to look at the business as a whole. Instead of being so invested in the jobs that I'm doing, and obviously with lockdown and everything, and because things have been just so crazy busy for RSOM since we've been allowed to do events, I haven't had the chance, but I know that it is an excuse because you can always plan time. You just need to set the time. So I completely understand that. I need to book myself a day where I can look at the whole business and make my own plans. I've got to do it too. If anything, I've got to follow my own mentoring advice and do it to myself. I have to sit down, look at the foundations and be like, okay, Jenna, what are we doing? And how did RSOM go in 2021? And what are we focusing on in 2022? And so with the artists, it's the same thing. You've got to take a step back, reflect on what you've done, and look at the opportunities to grow.
Yeah.
And not just be so focused on numbers. I think a lot of artists are just focused on numbers and they're so worried because their friends are releasing music, but they're not. But your journey is very different to others in the sense. So it's a whole range of things, I feel like. But I'm just thinking with the mentoring sessions that I've had today, for example, that's probably been one of the most pieces of advice is get out there and network, which we've talked about.
Yeah.
And take a step back and reflect on your journey and see where the opportunities are.
That's exactly right. I think it's sometimes, you're right, clients really struggle to see past the day-to-day and looking big picture. And, you see that across social media, you see that across the shows that they take and that sort of thing, and looking at their self-worth and also where they've come from and what they want what I call the brand or the look or the vibe or whatever you're going to call it of the music going forward, because you can be whatever you want to be. about taking your audience down that journey. You're completely right. I think I find it really fascinating. I start off my 8-week program with goals, and we start off right at the top and we say, okay, if you're 80 and you're in a nursing home, what do you want to say you've accomplished? And then that's where they start. And then they go, oh, well, we want to play arenas and this and that and that. And they're like, oh yeah, shit. That's why we started this. It's not about that like album that we want to have out next year. It's about the stadium we want to play in multiple years time.
And I think what's happening at the moment is, and something that's been prominent, is that artists need to focus on the big picture in terms of release campaigns and not just short-term goal themselves and just think, oh, that single campaign really sucked, I'm going to go downhill. Where it's like, no, you look at the opportunities that came out of that and you work on it for your next release, because in 12 months' time, that's where you're going to see improvement. You might not see improvement in the short term, but in the long term, you'll find that your engagement has grown, you've got more listeners, you'll have more people at your shows. So I think that's what's going on. I think artists just get so consumed in the now and they think, I'm not doing well, but I'm not getting the followers that I want. The stream count is too low, for example. So I think they just need to focus on the bigger picture. Yeah,
that's exactly right. It's like, see the lessons that they've learned and learn from them as well.
Yeah.
Don't make the same mistake twice if you can avoid it.
That's right. That's right.
What is the most important thing you think that musicians could be doing for their careers right now? Apart from networking.
What could they be doing? Well, apart from networking, I think they should just keep thinking about who they are as an artist and use their downtime on Instagram, because we do it. We all do it. We're always mindlessly scrolling on Instagram. And when you see something that you really like, bookmark it or archive it somewhere. That way, when you come to planning your own stuff, you've got a whole mood board of inspiration that you can take and be like, I really like the way this artist did that. I really like the aesthetic of this feed. Do all the research and the planning. If you've got a release that is in the works and you're going into the studio, things like that, and you're waiting for all that to happen, now is the best time to plan out your content, plan out what your brand's going to look like. And this is not something that's going to be an overnight success.
No.
You know, I look at Raria, who is such a prominent figure in our community, and people might have only known her since she launched her project Raria, but I've known her since the beginning of RSOM. So she obviously has been known as her birth name up until 2020 when she debuted Raria, but it was such a long process for her to get to that point. She had been performing for years and years and years, releasing single after single, but she wasn't getting the success that she wanted. So with all the research and inner deep thinking of who she is as an artist, she decided that it was a rebrand. And that might not be for everybody, but the rebrand certainly worked in her favor, because she's nailed her branding, she's nailed her aesthetic, she's nailed everything. But it was not an overnight thing. So obviously she would have done a lot of research and, you know, looking at artists that she aspires to and things like that in order to get this.
Yeah.
So when I think of her and how much she has achieved, I think anyone can do that. If she can do that, then anyone can. So I would just recommend, as I said, if you're waiting for things to happen, if you're waiting for releases to be done and things like that while you're in the studio, this is the best time to start thinking about what your releases should look like. So whether it's content planning, thinking of different strategies, thinking of different targets, for example, like whether you want to focus on playlisting or whether you want to focus on that. And then actually make plans as to how you're going to achieve this instead of thinking that it's going to come. That's the other part about it. Unfortunately, you have to do a lot of work. But fortunately, when you do the work, that's when it pays off, and that's when it, you know, that's when it's a massive success. So if that's any advice, I'm sorry if it was a bit blunt, but if that's the advice that I can give, that's a definite opportunity for everybody.
That's exactly how we want this podcast to be. It needs to be blunt, to the point, and real. It's like, we're not going to be beating around the bush about how the industry lies. It's like, you've got to do the work, and you've got to have things polished, and you've got to have things, you know, ready, basically. And, you know, as you said with that example of your artist, it's like she's learned these lessons. She chose to stop what she was doing, accumulate all the lessons, look further into where she was going and go, okay, these are the choices I'm going to make right now. And then relaunched it like that and, you know, basically packaged it up in the best way possible. And I think, to be honest, I really hope, I really wish that more people would do this, because they've been in bands for so long that they just sort of go, oh, well, we've been doing it for like this for, you know, however many years, we're just going to keep going. And it's like, but there's this part of the package that isn't quite there, and the branding's not there, and the social media. It's like, if you stop and you look, then you will actually have the ability yourself without needing people like us to like point you in the right direction. I think it's amazing how much people can help themselves, but then there's also such a huge value in somebody like ourselves being like, here's the mirror. You can do this. It's okay.
Yeah. I honestly wish I had a mentor, because, you know, being a musician is so isolating, and so is being a creative. You just feel so down about things that happen, and you're so vulnerable that, you know, a lot of my mentoring sessions have actually just been support. You know, it hasn't been necessarily some sessions aren't super productive. It's more just helping them realize what they're already thinking. They just need someone to tell them that. Like, I just had a session before and she's like, I'm just so super stressed about this, but you've literally just reaffirmed everything and now I don't feel as stressed.
Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes when I'm working on my business, because I'm a one, you know, I'm lucky, I'm very proud that I have a team, but essentially all the big stuff is still from me in the sense of, so I kind of wish I had a second me that I can talk to. And like, the second me will obviously be a, you know, a more higher and wiser me that will tell me, no, you don't have to stress about this because it's fine. You know, so mentorship is, you know, yes, it's not for everybody. And obviously it depends on what you want out of it. But essentially as a musician, the music industry can be very challenging and very isolating, that, you know, any support is good support in the sense of.
That's exactly right. And it can be you hiring somebody initially to, you know, tell you the facts of exactly what's going on in the industry. And then there's other, like, it can just morph into, yeah, I just need you to say that what I've done is okay, or that what I'm thinking is good. And, you know, I've had mentors myself in the industry to do exactly that for me, because you're right, it's completely isolating. And also I think what we don't give enough value to within the industry is how overwhelming all of the information is. Like, there's so much you could be doing. There's always something else. Like, if it's not social media, it's getting sync deals or whatever. It's like, oh my God, my head hurts.
Oh, for sure. I think I had one mentoring session like a couple years ago, and I think I left it crying. I was just in tears because I was so overwhelmed by all the information. I was like, what am I doing? What am I doing with my life? And then obviously weeks later, I was like, I love it. So I've definitely been there.
Yeah, exactly. We've all been there, which is good to know, I think, for anybody who's listening, is sort of no matter where you are in the music industry, we're all just trying our hardest, and nobody's coming from a space where they're uber privileged and know it's right off the fly. So where do you feel like the next 2 years is going to go in regards to the industry? I know we've, particularly both of us, are in Melbourne, and we've seen a lot of changes in regards to lockdowns the last 2 years.
I definitely think that online or live streaming is going to stay. I think that, but especially for, as a business perspective, I'm now running the majority of my things over Zoom. Like, all of my mentoring sessions are on Zoom. Whereas before, you know, sometimes I would meet, depending on where they lived, I used to meet artists out, but that would take so much more time out of my day. So, you know, to make my time more easier, I've been running sessions on Zoom. And honestly, for me, it's been fantastic. I've been running different softwares and things like that. In terms of the music industry, I definitely think that now that people can gain royalties from live streaming, I definitely think that live streaming can still be an asset for many musicians, because people are now so used to FaceTime and Facebook Lives and things like that. I still think there's going to be some benefits for live streaming. And we started it last month. We did a trial at our November networking night where we implemented a live stream option. because over the course of lockdown, we've welcomed a lot of regional and interstate songwriters now, and obviously we don't want them to miss out on the special discussions that we've been having.
Yeah.
So we trialed having an in-person visit and a live stream ticket at the same time, and the response has been fantastic that we're going to continue that into next year. Great. So I guess as from that, you know, I think things are going to be a lot more accessible with the fact that you can live stream. Like, for example, Big Sound went all online.
Yeah.
So I'm assuming that next year, Big Sound are going to have a live stream option and an in-person option. So people like us don't have to fly to Brisbane. We can just watch the conference. But in terms of an artist's perspective, and look, this is just from conversations that I've had with, you know, people who are closer knit in the industry. But the way that artists are breaking through, I guess, I don't know if that's the right word to use, is not your magazines and, you know, not your radio, like community radio or things like that. Although I love community radio, and that's why I will always continue to support community radio, because for local artists, it's such an amazing way to start out. But hearing conversations about A&Rs and record labels, it's just about other things like playlisting, everything digital, which is really sad, because I grew up in, you know, I studied journalism, which is newspapers and magazines and radio. It is not, we did not learn about podcasting and social media. And I've had to learn this all on my own, you know, and I was unlucky that I was in the last round for my course, that after I graduated, they then introduced podcasting and social media.
Of course they did. For
old people like us, you know, but yeah, I feel like for an artist, the nature of breaking through is changing. And I think, and this is where we're talking about, I've been talking about this with lots of artists in our sessions, is not to focus on one campaign as one. You should focus on a whole 12-month stream, you know, as a campaign. So if you release 3 singles, you're looking at it as an overall perspective, not just focusing one at a time, because they want to see consistency. That's what people want to see, you know. And I think playlisting is going to make a huge difference. I think Spotify has just, the algorithm's getting worse and worse for artists, like local artists, to break through. So I feel like that's going to be hard. And video is going to be huge next year, and not just live streaming, but now that Instagram has changed this, I don't know if you watched it, but the CEO of Instagram a while back was pretty much like, we are not going to be known as a photo based app. We're going to be like video. We're going to be all video now. So slowly the Instagram app is updating, and you know, where reels are on your homepage, but they're more bigger. So obviously they're trying to push that. So look, I don't know if these are the right or wrong answers. Nobody really knows. These are just conversations that I've been hearing from people who are in direct contact with record labels and things like that. They don't, you know, and the sad thing, like I said before, is that sadly, a premier in a magazine is not as prominent anymore as what it was when I was a publicist over 5 years ago. When I used to get a client as in a premier in Beat magazine, it was like amazing. You used to get a lot of engagement. Whereas now it's just like, okay, cool. Like you've got it. It's just for the name, unfortunately.
Yeah. It's literally just for social media. Yeah.
It sucks for I feel for the teams at like the publication side of things, because it sucks. Like people love to read, and unfortunately that's not getting the attention that it deserves.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Yeah, like I said, I think live streaming is going to be a huge element still now that lockdown's over, because it's more accessible. Consistency is key. That's what I definitely agree with that. I think consistency is going to be a major feature that artists need to focus on. So, you know, if you've got one single, don't just drop off the face of the earth. Have the next one ready and the next one ready, you know. And then we can already see that playlisting is a huge thing that artists want now, and Spotify have recognized that, and they're making it harder and harder. So I don't know what they want. That's something I want to know, so I can, you know, help our guys. But yeah, it'd be really interesting. I feel like the start of next year we'll see a lot more discussions about it. So I'd be really interested to hear what they say for sure.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think that the video space 100% is going to be huge. And that the exactly where Spotify ends up landing in regards to even just the tiff that they were having about wanting to be the premier place where you premiere your song first before you go on radio and things like that.
Yes,
like
I heard that.
It threw everyone for a bit of a spin, and like you can already see now, like the places that know how to adapt well have adapted. So Triple J is a really good example of that. They don't call it a premiere on Triple J anymore. They call it a first play because they literally don't want to be like causing any interruption with Spotify playlisting and things like that. Because they have been threatening that if you premiere somewhere else, you're not going to get playlisted, which I think is
crazy. Exactly right.
It's like, that is first, then we do it.
That I heard as well, and I'm thinking, hang on a minute, so if we get a premiere in a publication, it means it, you know, lessens the chance of being playlisted. Like,
they gatekeep so much. Like they're a little bit like how Facebook had been in the past. Now Facebook gives us everything, all the algorithms, they tell us exactly how to play and when to pay for that. And then, but yeah, Spotify's become very secretive now. So I'm hoping that there'll be a shift soon, and that in that shift, they start paying us more and they become more transparent, which would be great.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. We're not asking for much here. Come on.
Some answers. Just answers, please. Yeah.
Well, this has actually been so helpful, and I think a lot of people are going to get a lot out of this, whether you're a musician or within the industry as well. I think there's a lot of key indicators about where some of the trends are going for the next few years and where they've been in the past. And I wanted to round off today's podcast episode asking the question I always ask at the end of every episode, and that is, similar to how I pitch my goals to my clients, when you're 80, sitting next to Marge, next to you in the retirement home, what do you want to hope to say to that Marge, if you're going to be boasting to them saying, oh, well, love, here's your Lavington.
Oh my gosh. I imagine myself in a, like a, you know, a European sort of esque nursing home where, ooh, we've got all the different nationalities and we're all passing each other, like, you know, our own festive treats, like for Christmas, for example. what would I like to say to my 80-year-old friends? Well, at the moment, I just want to continue doing what I'm doing. And I hope that RSOM becomes a one-stop shop for emerging artists. That's an overall arching goal, you know, for myself. And I guess in the future, I would like to be known as someone that's made change. I would like to be known as a woman who started with an idea, a young 19-year-old that was just passionate about showcasing and advocating for original artists. I want to be known as the person that created that change. And it sounds like a massive goal. But yeah, you're right. When you think about it at 80, they are pretty massive, aren't they? So I hope that happens.
Amen. It's like, I hope I'm sitting there next to you and we're just like, yeah, we made it happen, guys. Because that's exactly what I'm giving you.
I'm giving you panettone too, Emma, while
and I'll just give you like a gluten-free biscuit that you really don't want to eat. You'll be like, gorgeous. Oh gosh. But yeah, you're completely right. I think I'm the same, and like I want to leave this planet having made an impact in a really visible and meaningful way within whether it's the music industry or the world or other people's lives, whatever it is. I think that's when I know I've lived well, I think.
Yeah. Oh, that's a nice way to end this chat.
Definitely. Thank you so much for joining the podcast. I really appreciate you coming on.
No, thank you. It was so nice to catch up.